God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we could come together. Every time I pray that, I always rush over that to the and read your word and remember Jesus. But just thank you that we could come together. God, I pray that as we open your word this morning, that you would speak to us, that your word would be living and powerful, that your spirit would transform our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, there's something that I think is fairly safe to say in a church building with, you know, a congregation on a Sunday morning. I think it's fairly safe to say, probably the safest thing I could say right now is a thing that, you know, assert is that we all, very likely, probably, we all want to be close to God. We desire that. We want to have a relationship with God. We want to walk with Him. We want to have a relationship with God. If we were to describe it, whatever words you use, we'd probably all say something that would mean the same thing. We want something, a relationship with God marked with passion, with devotion to Him. We want to feel His presence and know that He's walking alongside us. We want the, you know, the footprints poem. We want that to be true for our lives. As we walk through life, we want to know that He's carrying us, especially through the most difficult moments. We want that. Isn't that, that's why we're here, right? And if you say, no, somebody drug me here, nah, you could have acted sick. You could have stayed home and watched Netflix. We're here because we want to be close to God. We want to know Him. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray. That's why we sing. That's why we try to obey. We want to walk closely with God. But our problem is that we tend to lose that closeness. We tend to lose the closeness with God, the passion, the devotion, the things that make our relationship with God alive. We tend to lose that with time. Can you see that a little bit in your life? Can you see how it's so easy? We drift away. We drift away into almost a hollowed out a relationship where there's not a lot on the inside. There's stuff on the outside, not a lot on the inside. It's like there's a force that was pulling us, a current that was dragging us away from being close, from feeling, from walking closely with God. And then all of a sudden, what was alive now is just routine. And what we did before that made us, it filled us with, we knew, we felt, now it's just an obligation. Got to read my Bible today. Oh, I didn't pray. Okay, I got it before the end of the day. Make sure I pray. What connected us tangibly with God in the past now is something we do just to check it off the list. And we start just acting almost, appearing as if we were Christians on the outside, acting and looking as if we were people who walked closely with God. And we do all this stuff. We come together and we pray, and sometimes we read our Bibles even by ourselves at home. We might even serve, but on the inside, it's more and more hollowed out, like the worst kind of Easter candy when you bite into the big old piece of chocolate and it crumbles and you're like, oh, it was just a shell. We lose the connection with God and we look like people who are connected with God, but it's the connection that doesn't have passion, that doesn't have life, that doesn't have devotion. It's like what Jesus mentioned. Look at Matthew. This won't be our main text, but flip here. Remember the verses if I read them, if I get there too fast. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Or Matthew 15, verse 8. These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Have you seen that in your life? Have you seen glimpses of that in your walk with God? Your intention is to walk closely with God, but all of a sudden it feels like you're just acting almost. You have a routine, but no passion. God, in the middle of that reality that so many times we experience, God helps us. He helps us. He encounters us there. And there's a message. Look at Revelation chapter 3. There's a message that Jesus sent to a church in the first century that I think will help us because it's about that. It's about looking alive on the outside and being empty on the inside. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 1. So you thought we were going to go to Laodicea, right? That's what I thought too at the beginning of the week. And then God changed it. This one's good too. We've done Laodicea a lot. So I was like, should we again? We're going to do a different one. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. Starts off good. You say, ooh, knows my work. You have the reputation of being alive. Then it turns just a very dark corner. But you are dead. They found themselves like you and I find ourselves many times, full of good works, doing the stuff, going to church, knowing as Christians. Hey, babe, Phil's a Christian. He doesn't cuss at work. Don't even bother inviting him to the party. He won't show up. He's a good Christian on the outside, but on the inside, dead, far from God. God uses the word dead. Without a true relationship with himself, without passion, without devotion. And you know, it occurs to me that maybe the months that we couldn't meet together might have helped, I don't know, you be the judge of this for yourself, because this is a very individual thing, might have helped expose this in each one of us, in ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm going to talk about Sunday, and I don't want you to go down a wrong path from the get-go. Sunday's important. Meeting together, coming together is extremely important. We've seen that, right? It got taken away and we realized you can't replace it. As wonderful as family devotions are and meeting over Zoom, it's nothing like this. So important. But when we can come together every week, it can give us a false sense of confidence in ourselves, security, a false sense of security in ourselves and other people. Not coming together when we can is a danger sign. It's a sign that things aren't good in your relationship with God. I could meet with my brothers and sisters, would rather stay home and watch Netflix. That's a sign that I'm not walking with God, though. That's a danger signal in me. But by the same token, participating, coming every week or 3 weeks a month or 2 weeks a month, whatever it is, coming once in a while, regularly even, doesn't necessarily mean that everything is good on the inside. Just because I'm here every week does not mean that I'm not getting hollowed out on the inside in my relationship with God, because coming together is only part of our relationship with God and our devotion to him. When we have Sundays, when we're able to come together, it can look like we're really doing good on the outside. And as long as we show up here every week, maybe even twice a week, three times a week, it appears like we're doing fine. And no one would even think of asking, is everything good on the inside? Because we're showing up, we're here. And that can deceive us. It can deceive ourselves. It can deceive us in regards to each other even. But when we don't have Sunday, when it got taken away for a minute, it was a little easier to see, wasn't it? The hollow spots in our relationship with God, the things inside of us that weren't really true and that were kind of empty without Sunday, without that. So that maybe was something that was a bit of an advantage, even something, a blessing that God worked in not having Sundays for a while, because we were each able to look in the mirror and say, what is my relationship with God really like if I don't have this? Is it real? Is it solid? What are the parts inside that aren't solid? And that's good to have to ask ourselves once in a while, because it is easy to act like things are good on the outside, especially when we have Sundays, and on the inside be lukewarm without even realizing it. And then look at verse 3. We're going to skip a verse. We'll go back. But look at verse 3, especially the second part. He underscores for us how serious it is to act, to put on a show, to appear like you're doing good with God when you're not on the inside. Revelation 3, verse 3, remember then what you have received and heard, keep it and repent. Look at the second part. If you will not wake up, so you're dead. If you will not wake up, this is Jesus talking, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. It's dangerous to put on an act. It's dangerous to we deceive ourselves when we put on this act. It's very dangerous, because Jesus says someday you're going to have to face me face to face. And I know I know what's going on underneath. I know how close to me you truly are. You can't fake your relationship with me when you're in front of me. That's over. You will look like exactly like what you are when you're standing before me, and it'll happen when you least expect it, like a thief in the night. You'll have to face me. And then you'll be exposed for how empty you are on the inside. You'll be left naked. You won't be able to deceive yourself, and you really won't be able to deceive me. It's dangerous to put on an act. Why? Because when we do, we're not pleasing God. When I look like a good Christian on the outside, but on the inside, there's not a deep connection with God, it's not pleasing to my Father. Because when I truly walk with God, well, that requires passion, that requires devotion. It's what God wants. It's a definition of having a relationship with Him. And when I don't have that, when I act like I do, but I don't, I'm deceiving myself. I'm acting like everything's okay, and I'm actually in grave danger, and I actually don't have a true relationship with God. It's not real. That's what He says in verse 1. You're dead. That's a horrible, horribly serious charge to level against good church people who are doing all the right stuff, who have a reputation of doing all the right stuff. And He says, you're dead. He says it to them. I'm not glad that letter wasn't directed to us, but we can take something from it, can't we? And it doesn't just mean that I don't have a relationship with God. When I act like I do on the outside and I deceive myself, and things are pretty good, when in reality there's not a deep, passionate seeking of God and intimacy in my relationship with Him, it's like that doesn't just show that I don't have a relationship with Him. It actually keeps me from having a relationship with Him. Acting like it on the outside without having it on the inside acts like a vaccine. It prevents me from going down the path of even seeking for Him, because I think I'm doing okay. So what should we do? What's the application for you and I? Look at verse 2. I said we would go back there. He gives the application right away. It's a process. We're going to see different words. He says, do this and do this and do this and do this. He gives us words that we have to do, commands, but it's a process. If you look at it, this is something that we have to continually do, because drifting away from God is a continual process in our lives and in our hearts. So that's a process. So we have to be going through this process of repentance to seek and find passion and devotion in our relationship with Him. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Wake up. Look at the words. Wake up. Wake up. See, the process starts by opening our eyes, by waking up, by saying, okay, I want to see my actual real state. I want to see what's going on inside of me. I want to see the parts of my relationship with God where I am just going through the motions and it looks good on the outside, but there's not a deep connection with the Father, because we can get good at going through the longer you're around church, the better you are. Just, you know what to do. Wake up, he says. See, we actually recognize what's empty, what's hollowed out inside of you in your relationship with God, the things that you do just because you've always done that, and it's what you have to do. And then he continues, so wake up and then strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Wake up and strengthen. The works aren't complete. You're doing the works, but they are complete. Wait, what is he talking about? I think he's talking about, is he saying, do the stuff. Do the stuff that you know you should be doing. Strengthen what's there. You're doing the stuff. It's not complete. Keep doing the stuff, but make it complete. Do what you know you're supposed to be doing. Read your Bible and talk to God and sing to Him and fast and worship together and use your gifts in His kingdom. Do the stuff that you know you should do, but make it complete. Do those things, not just to check them off a list. Do them because you're trying to escape spiritual death, because you want a deep connection with God. Read the Bible, not because you have to check off today in YouVersion. Otherwise, your YouVersion reading partners will know you didn't read the Bible, so I got to make sure I do that. No, read the Bible because you want to hear the living and active voice of your Father. You want the sword of the Spirit to penetrate into your heart and change. Do the stuff, but complete the works. Do them because you're seeking God in them. When you're serving, when you're singing, it's not just this is what we do now. It's I want to be close to you and I want to give you glory. I want this to be something that I'm doing as part of my deep relationship with you, not just because. Go on to the next verse. Remember then what you received and heard. Remember, that's the next thing. Remember, keep it. Remember what you heard and then keep it. That's the second. We'll go to that in a minute. But remember the gospel. Remember what God has given you. Remember what this is all about. Remember what a miracle it was when you became a Christian. Remember when you came out of the water, when God transformed you, when he put his spirit in you, when his grace was poured out over you, what Jesus purchased for you on the cross. Remember that? Remember that, because it's not just us going through the motions and now I have to do these things every week or every day sometimes until I die and then I'll go to heaven. It's I'm a new person. I'm a child of God. By his grace, I've been saved. So remember that. Don't just do the things. Do the things because of what God has done in you and who you are and who he is. He's your father. You're his child. Remember that. Keep that. Hold on to it. Hold on to what you have in him. And then in the next part of chapter 3, verse 3, repent. And that's, I said last week that every week we're going to have a word for the week. And this is our word for the week. It's repent. It's repent. It's rejecting this idea of I'm going to just do the things that I have to do and that's good enough. I'm going to check the things off my list. I'm going to do what I do because that's what I always do and I need to do it and there's an obligation. It's rejecting that and it's deciding that I am going to seek God starting from this moment forward until I forget about it again and I have to be reminded. I'm going to seek God with passion and with devotion. What would it mean for you to do that? What does it look like for you? How do you fan into flames the embers of your passion, your relationship with God? How do you go out from here and then on your way home and drive in such a way that you're connected with God and you're talking to him? And how do you spend the afternoon with your family or by yourself in such a way that there's a connection with God that runs through it all? How do you, tomorrow when you wake up and you grab your Bible or your phone or whatever your Bible is on and you read that, how do you read it in such a way that you're not just check it off the list and say, I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. I want a deep connection. That's what this repentance is. I'm not just going to go through the motions. I'm going to seek a deep connection with you, Father, in everything that I do. And if you're listening to this, listen, and if you're not a Christian, if you've never given yourself to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, maybe you've been around this for long enough to learn how to do the things. And maybe you feel like you've gotten closer to God than you ever thought you would have before. This passage, even though it was written to Christians, it's a call to you as well. It's a call to you to give yourself to Jesus, to truly surrender to him, to decide that you're not just going to do the things and go through the motions, but you are going to enter into a deep relationship with him, that he will be your Savior and Lord, that you will give yourself to him by repenting and being baptized. And when you do that, his spirit will fill you. You will become God's child. And in this community, when you say, I got to do that, I want to become a Christian, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. And then I want to finish with verse 4 and following, because if you're eagle-eyed, you saw we read half of the passage, and we can't end with that. There's a promise. There's an incredible promise at the end of this. There's a promise at the end of this verse that is just should make our eyes tear up. It's incredible. Verse 4 says, yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Wow, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says of the churches. Think about that. Isn't that why we pursue intimacy with the Father? Isn't that why we seek him to someday to be in his kingdom, in heaven, clothed with white garments that are white because of the blood of the Lamb, and have our name not be blotted out of the book of life? A terrifying thing to think of that happening, but then how incredible to think of getting there, and my name is there. And then I'll confess. Who's talking? Jesus. Jesus says, I will confess your name before my Father and his angels. Can you imagine Jesus saying your name before the Father as he welcomes you into heaven? That will be an incredible moment. That is why we walk down this path of seeking intimacy with the Father and having a true relationship with him, because that day will come and being able to stand before him and hear our name come out of his mouth. Wow. Nothing like it. So why don't we end today by obeying what he said, right? He said, remember, isn't that one of the first things that we're told to do, to not be dead on the inside? We're told to remember. And what we're about to do as we take the bread and drink the cup and remember the death of Jesus definitely falls in the category of remember. Remember what you've heard. Remember what you've received. This is a moment for us to remember, to remember Jesus on the cross and the agony that he suffered and the passion and the devotion with which he came after us and continues to come after us to this day. It's a moment for you and I as we take the bread, remember his body broken, and we drink the cup and remember his blood spilled. It's a moment for you and I to decide once again that I will seek him with that same devotion. I will seek him with the same passion with which he sought and seeks me, not because I have to, but because I love him, because of what he's done for me. So I'll pray as we are about to take the bread, and we'll have a prayer for the cup. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for being good to us. Thank you for showing your goodness at the cross. Thank you for calling us into your kingdom. Thank you for moments like this when you, through your spirit and your word, you would wake us up from those places in our life that are where we're kind of on autopilot in our relationship with you. If we're honest, we're going through the motions. And so together, as we enter into this time of individual confession, together we confess to you that we repent. We are not as alive as sometimes we look on the outside, but we want to be. We want to be. We love you, and we want to hear our name come from your lips as you confess our name before the Father and the angels on that day. So God, today, through your spirit, guide us into all truth as you guide us into a relationship that is deeper and more profound as we walk with you in this week. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.